Welcome to,
or welcome back to,
Dark Room Reviews. My name is Ginger.
And I'm Matt.
On this week's episode of Horror Movie Reviews, we'll be discussing
Antebellum.
This rare 2020 new release is a new film by Gerard Butch and Christopher Renz.
So let's dive right in.
Well, you may be asking, as always, who are we? I'm a pretend, sometimes, sort of airline pilot
by
day.
But not for the past 7 months.
Yeah. And otherwise, a self-proclaimed film buff. My love of horror movies started very, very young, at the ripe age of 7, starting out with my all-time favorite, which was The Shining.
Shameless plug for The Shining review here.
Yeah, right. Watch now. Listen now. Since then, I've always loved that really excellent horror movie scare. I watch pretty much every horror movie I can find, but I don't love every horror movie that I can find, which led us to starting this podcast.
And I'm Matt, which, opposite to Ginger, I don't fly planes.
Well,
sometimes. I don't know.
You can.
I'm capable of it, but I originally have a music background. I even worked in film and TV, working on a couple of horror series myself, and even doing a project from our last episode, the Nosferatu Symphony of Horror.
Yeah, another shameless plug.
There's two in one episode. Can we do three?
Well,
maybe.
Stay tuned to find out.
But from my work in film and TV, I don't always appreciate most of the technical issues with most of the horror films, which makes me a little skeptical of them. Mm-hmm. So you could say I'm the harsh critic and she's the fun film buff.
It's true.
And I guess the great debate lives on. So let's get into Antebellum. This is a 2020 film. I didn't know they still made those.
Yeah, I know. Rare, right?
Super strange. This movie is written and directed by Gerard Butch and Christopher Renz, both of them. This movie is a rarity, as there are not very many movies coming out this year.
Yeah.
Especially the horror variety. Like, we've seen a couple. Tenet was pretty good.
Yeah.
But
that was excellent.
This is one of the first horror movies for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
This does star Janelle Monáe as Veronica / Eden. We'll get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna Malone as Elizabeth. And Eric Lang as him and the general.
Yeah.
Same person. They don't really give him a character title.
Right.
There are other featured roles in this movie that we will discuss. We just didn't.
Yeah.
There's a handful that are all kind of in the same category, so we won't give you anyone else besides the main three, but definitely look it up if you're interested in those actors.
It's an excellent full cast, and I will say, like, from an acting perspective, it was
well done.
Really well done.
We can't get ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah. The acting was phenomenal.
We'll give you our thoughts about the rest
of it. Yeah, we'll give you our thoughts about the rest of it.
So again, as you know, there are going to be spoilers coming up. If you haven't seen, especially this is a new release.
Yeah.
Maybe you go watch it, rent it. You know, you can watch it on rent it on YouTube. We watched it on demand with Rogers Cable.
That's right.
No plug for Rogers.
Yeah. I was like, is this a plug for Rogers Cable?
If they want to sponsor this podcast, I'll say
hey,
what they want.
Yeah, Rogers, want to reach out to us? We're open.
Anyways, going into the storyline here, but again, check it out if you're interested. We'll give you our thoughts along the way, but there may be some spoilers. For those of you that haven't seen the trailer, this is a new movie, 2020, and it tells the story of a woman on a plantation who at the beginning of the movie is named Eden. We first get started on the plantation, which, little fun fact here, is the Evergreen Plantation in Louisiana, which I haven't visited. You have.
I have, yes. It's stunning.
We've been to a few down there. We personally only like to go to some of the plantations that
Donate to the appropriate historical or, like, Black-supported groups because of the extremely brutal nature of what plantations were. Again, yes, they're gorgeous, but let's not kid ourselves. Those were people getting rich literally off the backs of African-American slaves. You can't even call them workers. They weren't compensated.
They were not workers.
So we try to really only
give our business.
Yeah, and support to ones that donate appropriately. Evergreen is really not one of those.
It is very pretty, and it makes a very good film set.
And it certainly has been used in a couple other films as well. I believe there's a scene from Django Unchained that was filmed there, and there's another one for sure. It's not Interview with a Vampire, because Interview with a Vampire was filmed at Oak Alley, which is one of our undisputed favorites.
Yes. Yeah. One of the more popular ones down there, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, this movie does start on a plantation.
Yeah.
We just mentioned where it is.
And you are hit instantly with the unbelievable brutality and violence in the opening sequence. What did you think about the opening sequence?
It was creepy, well done, and you felt for everyone. Because, well, we went into it knowing the trailer.
Yes.
And at this point, like, we knew at least to some extent that this was going to be, like, there was going to be showcasing slavery and mm-hmm. things like that. But we didn't know to what extent.
Yeah.
And they don't hide it.
No, I more appreciate a movie that's not going to hide it.
Yeah, or
don't
make it
sugarcoat
seem like
it.
No.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. It wasn't sugarcoated. So why have a movie that portrays it to be like that? So I'm happy for the depiction, or more accurate depiction of what that could have been like.
So this opening scene that we're talking about was, so we kind of get an overview of the workers on the plantation, and it's exactly what you think it is. It is African-Americans picking cotton on the field, mm-hmm. and we end up getting these two that are being dragged
back to the plantation,
one male, one female.
Yeah, they had clearly attempted to escape and run away, and they were being dragged, literally dragged, attached to ropes on themselves, and then the rope is attached to a horse, and they're being dragged back to the plantation. They're still alive.
They're being tortured and hit, beaten, until one of them collapses from being hit, and the woman runs away, trying to escape one other time.
Yeah.
And they catch her, and they just shoot her.
What you figure out
quite quickly after that
is it was her husband, and he watched people murder her point blank right in front of him. So it starts out just very heavy, very, very emotional. And depicted in the right way. You know, you are instantly pulled into the horrificness of it all.
So before we get too much into the story, I want to share with everyone my thoughts going into this movie.
Mm.
Because this, fortunately and unfortunately, has shaped my opinion on the movie. So the trailer that you get on the movie is of the main character, Veronica/Eden. And you kind of see this little back and forth between what appears to be her as a slave, and what also appears to be her
in modern day
as like a motivational speaker or something
writer.
For me personally, I saw this back and forth, and the way they did the cuts too, like there's like a plane flying over where it kind of like
glitches
in and out. I'm thinking, oh, this is some weird either parallel universe thing, especially knowing the writers of this. I thought it was gonna be more similar to like Us.
Get Out or Us. Yeah.
Neither one of them.
Because actually it was the same producer. So they don't share writers, but the producer is the exact same for both Get Out and Us, which we're huge fans of.
Yes. And the kind of like, you know, the weirdness of it of like, you know, you can understand how this parallel thing almost makes a deeper meaning to the entire thing, has more of an impact.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking going into this was, this is potentially her or an ancestor or being told through parallel stories that you may or may not know how they're intertwined. And I thought that's kind of how I thought was going through it.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I thought too.
Not to spoil it for you, that is not the case. So if you think that's what it is not.
No.
And we're going to get into it.
Yeah.
But we'll explain kind of our thoughts on that moving forward. But I just wanted to give you guys, that's kind of my take. I'm not sure if anyone else out there has had the same take. I know you did, but just if you're thinking that, maybe listen a little longer and see if this movie's right for you.
Yeah.
So now we get introduced to Eden, and this is kind of the main character we're going to be following.
Yes.
So we get right off the bat that she is a leader or activist for the other slaves.
Yes.
There are a lot of people that talk to her that seem to be, you know, non-verbally communicating to her about, like, what's happened or what's going on. And she's kind of like the forefront person, and you can kind of tell she's trying to plan to get out of
that
this
others
place.
Others are definitely looking to her for help or a solution or something.
And we get the idea that it looks like she might have even had something to do with this couple trying to escape.
Yes.
Because almost immediately after they killed the woman, she's tortured. Really badly.
Well, we can talk about it. She is beaten, and that's the least of it. She's raped.
Yeah.
And then she is branded.
Yeah, they literally
with
get those,
a literal
like,
branding iron.
They put it in the fire, and she gets a stamp.
Yeah.
Right on her.
So it's awful. I mean, those parts are pretty hard to watch, I will say.
And the big thing is they keep asking her what her name is.
Yeah. So
makes sense later when you realize what's going on.
Well, and it, well,
a little bit then, too, yeah, if you thought it was something else.
Because also, often slaves weren't allowed to keep their real names. They would be named by, the plantation owner. So I didn't think that it had anything to do with...
I didn't think it had anything to do with what the movie was
past
about.
Past and present? Yeah. I literally just thought it had to do with... They were just showing you a true depiction of what it was like when somebody was resisting... You know, resisting the idea that their plantation owner could give them a new name.
And just, you know, not accepting who they are as a person, if that makes any sense. Because they were not treated as people. They weren't people then.
No. Yeah, they weren't. They certainly weren't treated as people. They were treated, real talk. They were treated as less than animals, even. Yeah. You know, animals were even treated better, which is just sickening. It's... fucking gross.
Yeah.
And the other crazy thing that we have to remember is, yes, this is a long time ago, but it's not that long ago.
No.
And even worse, when you think about what is happening today, then it's really not that long ago, because sure, you know, emancipation was in the, you know, 1860s, but racism is unbelievably alive today.
Yeah, there are so many continued systemic issues that are still going on throughout the world today.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate this movie's trying to bring up, almost bring that to light with what this storyline actually is. I just wish...
As a side note, they do a really good job at showing some microaggressions.
Yes.
And I think that is really good. Like, when there is a section when they're in present day, we will get to that.
And we will talk about that coming up in that section.
Yeah, and they do a really excellent job at depicting some of the microaggressions. I know that there are some deniers that believe that microaggressions don't exist. They do. And
whether you're aware of them or not, this movie brings them to light.
Right. And I think the whole point of that is to be aware of the things that you're saying. You might actually be causing a microaggression. You might be an aggressor, whether you realized it or not, just by your ignorance and your lack of education on the matter.
Yes,
right?
We will dive into that.
Yes.
In that section when it comes up.
Yeah.
So after this, you know, after about 15, 20 minutes of this brutality against her, we realize that she's not giving up. She's continuing her plan. We see this, like,
she's very strong.
She's going through and she's finding, like, squeaky floorboards in her cabin, different hiding spots that she can have. She's been taking note of different soldiers' rotation times. You can tell she's very aware.
Oh, yeah. She's...
of what's going on. She's still planning. She's still figuring it all out.
Yeah. She's certainly trying to keep track of everybody. And you can tell that she is always on. She's always thinking. She's thinking up an escape route,
yeah,
for sure.
Even after all this. Yeah. So now we get brought a new batch of
slaves
that are being brought to the plantation.
Yeah.
There's about three or four in there, but we really only get to see one because she gets paired up with Eden.
Yes.
And they name her Julia. The plantation owners name her Julia.
Yeah, so this is when we first really get introduced to one of the plantation owners. This is the woman. So this is Elizabeth.
Yes.
Elizabeth and her little girl name the new slaves that are coming in. And again, we focus on Julia.
She got paired up with Eden to be, you know, trained and looked after.
Yeah, trained and introduced to the plantation and figure things out.
This is also where we get to learn a lot about their rules on the plantation as well. We find out that the slaves are not even allowed to talk without permission.
Yeah, which will make a lot of sense later when you get kind of revealed the big twist. But it's still, you're still thinking
that this is just a very normal plantation.
Yes.
Possibly set in a time in the past.
Yeah.
And
it's certainly, well,
very
it's not,
harsh.
It's, yeah, they try to pinpoint the time because they also set it up that the plantation has been taken over by
A Confederate army.
Confederate army, yeah. Right? Which was a thing that very much happened at the time. So again, I'm not,
and
nothing
Confederate
is.
Confederate War, Civil War. I don't know my Civil War.
Yeah, Civil War. So it's the Civil War. The Confederate Army is the name of the army.
Yeah, it's the name of the army, but I don't know my Civil War dates.
Mid-1860s.
Cool. I don't know. Canadian history. It's the only thing I got. 7 Years' War.
How do you not know the date of the Civil War.
I didn't go to school in the U.S.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
I never studied the Civil War in the States.
Okay, not to trash on Canada, but it's so much more interesting than Canadian history.
Okay, we're like, we fought the British and the French. And then World War I and II happened.
And that brings and us up it. To today,
so
folks.
So here we go. Yeah. You learned the entirety of Canadian history. Congratulations, everyone.
So, which was very standard at the time that basically when the Confederate Army had decided that they needed a certain area to work out of, they would overtake homes, plantations, anything. It didn't matter.
And this is why there are a bunch of soldiers as well on the plantation that are... Yes. Really the ones that are mistreating all of the slaves and...
Yeah,
They all are.
They all are, but they're really,
they're the ones that really are really the ones that are actually, for the most part, those are the ones who
active
are actually
abusers.
Actively abusing them.
For sure.
So after Julia gets in, we find out very quickly that she is also pregnant.
Yeah, which you just feel devastated for her.
And she makes it very clear that she needs to leave. She's only been there, she pretty much just got on there and she has to leave.
Yeah.
So this is where I was trying to, pick up, a weird parallel universe thing. Is this maybe a weird science fiction-y thing where they've been brought back to a time?
This is what I thought. So
because you can tell that both Eden and this new person, Julia, are very much well-spoken and have very little accents, if any.
Yeah.
And the way that they're talking about almost instantly getting out, that wasn't necessarily common at the time. I know there were a few
because
did try to escape in other plantations or in the time.
I don't know how they would feel, but I can certainly imagine that a person in that situation being a slave, and then even worse being a slave woman, your rights are nothing. You have less than nothing for rights. So you wouldn't even feel like escaping is even really much of an option. I know that slaves did try to escape, but...
It did happen. That, slaves were totally fine. That's not the case.
No, not at all. But it's the incredible sense of what even would you do
and
once
that's the
you
thing,
did escape?
Like, because they had no rights, they couldn't go anywhere.
I don't even fucking know.
And if you had a good enough plantation, I know, again, a lot of plantations do try to spin this. It's slaves were happy here, which is not...
It's never the case.
Yeah, do I stay here and live?
Yeah.
Or do I get off the plantation and get killed?
Yeah, I mean...
Those are your options.
Well, it was just a choice between life or death. That's really it. It's not... I mean, we really hate this.
Yes.
We really especially hate the idea that... So there's a notion that floats around Louisiana as they like to... There was an old idea that they'd like to say, oh, they were gentler slave owners, and they were gentle on their slaves, and they treated them kind, and
they all stayed, slaves stayed, and they really enjoyed living here.
This is complete bullshit, by the way. This is not at all how it was, mm-hmm. Not even remotely.
Yeah, some of them did eventually get close to having free people rights.
Yeah.
Some.
And there were some slightly different rules and laws in place if you were a African-American living in the French Quarter in a particular time period.
You could have had free rights as not being a slave, which basically that's all it meant, is you wouldn't be hired.
Yeah.
You just weren't a slave.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you have
That doesn't mean good, you're out there rights. Equal rights. We still don't have equal rights. Shocking.
Yeah. So... It just meant that you were perhaps able to work
get
a job.
Off a plantation and be somewhat in normal-ish society. If people would even allow that.
Yeah, if they would even allow it. But even then,
That was tough.
Yeah.
But again, this idea of, what we've been noticing is that, more typically in those times, they were just either staying on the plantation to not get killed if they were able to bear it.
Again, what choice would you have?
Or if you left, you were killed because you were either going to get off the plantation and be shot because you had no rights.
You were somebody's property.
Or you'd be captured and that would almost be worse because you don't know where you'd end up.
Yeah, and then the uncertainty of that is almost worse. And perhaps, again, people would end up staying because perhaps they had families. Maybe they had children.
Yeah.
It's not just as simple as, I'm just going to take myself and run. I mean, run where, first of all? Second of all, who's going to sympathize with you? And third, like, maybe you have a husband, a partner, a child, a spouse, a blah. There's so many possibilities to that. Like, again, you can't just be like, yeah, I broke free and...
Now I got rid of it. Now I'm going to go, I'm going to move to the city. No, that doesn't happen. So this is the weird thing when Julia comes on basically expressing she needs to escape instantly.
Yeah.
That's what kind of threw me a little bit, was like, okay, normally this is not like a, an instant get the fuck out of here type of situation.
Yeah.
That's where I was kind of thinking, okay, is this
more modern?
Are these people brought back to the past? Like, yeah. I was thinking more like parallel universe time shifty.
Yes. I was originally thinking, and the way that the trailer sets you up is you're thinking that this is a modern woman or women or number of people.
Yeah, who is who have been brought back in time,
which I know is very sci-fi, but brought back in time to this time period or
that to they're functioning something
in some type of parallel universe, yes, or something very terrifying. Because again, imagine how terrifying that would be if you're brought back to a time you don't even know that time and
where you have rights and freedoms now, and going back to that point where you didn't
have none, and you owed
them freedoms to have zero.
I mean, I'm sorry, but talk about how incredibly crushing, soul crushing that would be if you were that person brought back to that period. You'd just be hopeless, especially knowing what the outcome was. That's the other unfortunate part, is that being a person in our present time, like, let's say again, you're a modern person in the year 2020 and you understand like the whole history since emancipation.
Yeah.
Right? And you know that even when it happened, it didn't really get good. So you're just thinking, like, what the... Again, soul-crushing is the only way to even remotely describe that. You'd feel so helpless.
Well, and again, later on, we find out that Julia is increasingly impatient to leave. She ends up getting into a feud with Eden.
Yeah.
And is just kind of back and forth. And Eden's like, you got to trust me. You've got to keep your head down. You need to stay safe.
Yeah.
And one of the dinners, so they're working one of the dinners, and of course they're serving. Mm-hmm. And this is where you really get to know they're at, like, essentially a big Confederate outdoor gathering, dinner party.
So there's a bunch of soldiers.
And we learn about, this is where we get really that the main leader, him, the general, mm-hmm, is, you know, speaking on behalf of the Confederate Army. We need to take down the Yankees, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And the slaves are working the dinner, of course.
Yeah.
And one of the soldiers, there's two of them, one of them starts, you know, calling Julia over.
Yes.
Basically saying that, you know, my friend's interested in you and all this stuff. And basically sets up a...
Yeah.
Like, basically treats her as a prostitute.
Yeah. Not even, because she's going to get paid.
But, like, basically just, my friend's going to have his way with you.
So Julia is told to go to this guy's cabin, and then he goes back and he's going to do whatever he wants with her.
Yep. And this soldier's name is Daniel.
Daniel.
And up front, he seems very timid and shy.
Yeah. So it's really sad too, because there's this brief moment where you're thinking that Daniel's going to be a decent human being, or somewhat decent, because he enters the cabin. Julia is waiting there for him. And she can tell that he is apprehensive, he's timid, he's not really making any kind of move, or he's not being aggressive yet.
And Julia starts talking to him.
But
she forgot she's not allowed to talk to them.
Yeah. So then he flips out. He
throws her to the ground.
Beats the absolute shit out of her. Kicks her in the stomach,
you know.
And of course, you already know that she's pregnant. And you're just like, oh God, there it is. That's that, you know. So the next day,
they're back in the field.
Yeah, poor Julia ends up going to the field, and she immediately starts bleeding, and you can tell that she is miscarrying right there in the field. So Eden sweeps Julia away. They kind of get some permission to go in, you know.
Just to clean her up.
They're not even really giving her permission to take the day off or anything. They literally just let her go back to the cabin to get cleaned up.
So now we kind of have a few other events that don't really mean anything. They're all just kind of in the field.
Yep.
And we go to the next day where, again, Julia is late for arriving, and the soldiers are kind of losing their mind that, you know, Julia's now done this twice.
Yeah.
And Eden goes to check on Julia, and this is where we find out that Julia has hung herself.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Yeah.
It's pretty devastating. So, again, you can only sympathize with exactly her feelings on it, right?
Yeah.
How else would you think you could escape? You couldn't.
You couldn't. So, that night, after this has all happened, Eden is then raped by the general.
Yeah.
And we start to kind of... This is where the shift happens. She has... Yes. We start hearing some sound effects as she's going to bed of, like, an alarm of a cell phone ringing. And we're like, okay.
Yeah.
And we wake up with Eden, and she's in a what looks like an urban condo.
Yeah.
In a very modern, laid-out bed.
Mm-hmm. Next to her partner.
Next to her partner, and very much, like, normal artwork on the walls, painted, like, a very nice brick loft.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Like, it's gorgeous.
We're now in modern day. Yes. And it's the same actress, who's waking up.
And we very quickly discover that this woman's real name is Veronica Henley. Yes. And Veronica is a very successful sociologist. She's a writer, and she is basically an activist for Black African-American rights.
So as soon as this happened, I'm thinking... right, maybe they've been brought back, or maybe this is, like, their parallel lives. Maybe it's an ancestral thing, but it's just being shown by the same, you know...
Person.
Or...
I still wasn't really sure what was going on. Yeah, and I'm still very interested in this point. Again, the movie is fantastic still.
So, right now, all we've gotten is all this stuff has happened on a plantation, and now we're with... Veronica, played by the same person who is Eden, on the plantation. And I'm interested. I want to see how these are making their way together.
Yeah. So we get a little glimpse into Veronica's life. She seems to have a really lovely relationship with her partner, her husband. And she has a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
They have a really nice home life together.
Very comfortable home life. You can tell she travels for work. She's very comfortable. She has a great work team. She's doing what she loves. She's doing well in her career.
Yeah, and you can tell she's also getting some fame, too, because there's even a point where her and her husband and the daughter are in the kitchen.
And they're watching TV.
Yeah, they're watching her interview, and she'd been interviewed on, like, CNN and stuff. So, yeah, she is well-known within her field, for sure. Then we get shown that...
She had a call that she had to take.
Yes.
And this call, and we cut over, and it's this very, again, white, blonde, southern...
Yeah,
and it's the same person who plays the plantation
owner Elizabeth.
Yeah. Well, we don't know her name yet. I don't think we get told her name yet.
No, we get told her name. She introduces herself. So that's the actress Jenna Malone. Again, that's the parallel characters, right? And she introduces herself as Elizabeth, which I did catch on to as strange because the past self that actress plays is also named Elizabeth. So I thought, okay, like, I'm paying attention to this.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth introduces herself and says that she's interested in basically working with or hiring Veronica for something.
But had some questions about her work, and but seemed very critical about what she did. It was almost kind of doubting her style research and style, and kind of saying that she may have missed the mark with what she was claiming in terms of socioeconomic status, proportionately to certain cultures and backgrounds.
Yeah, well, she was almost trying to immediately blast out of the gates saying that, like, it's not that bad for African-Americans.
And this is where the microaggressions start. This one starts right at the call. So already kind of questioning her work, and on top of that, Veronica's wearing a very nice Pat McGrath
lipstick. Gorgeous lipstick.
And
she compliments her, but it's also a bit of a backhanded compliment, too. She says something like... Oh, that color is gorgeous. It actually looks really nice on your skin tone.
I could never wear anything like that.
And you're just like, oh.
Yeah, of course you couldn't wear anything like that.
And you're like, oh. Like, it starts immediately with their conversation. You can tell Veronica is, like, she plays it really, really well. They're on a video call. You can tell
she's annoyed. Veronica's annoyed, but is just trying to, like, professionally, put her in her place.
Yeah, she's being very professional. She shuts it down politely. it was good. Like, it was a really unique interaction. So then Veronica says, like, look, I'm too busy to have this conversation right now. I'm just about to leave, you know, for her,
She has, like, a conference or, a speaking event.
Yeah, she was speaking at a conference. So she says, but, you know, if you get in touch with my assistant, they'd be happy to set something up.
Yeah.
So she just kind of brushes her off. And as soon as, like, she hangs up, she's just like, ugh. Like, she just kind of rolls her eyes and, like, makes a sound.
And I think she has, like, a little, like, chat with her daughter. Being like, you know, this is what people think sometimes, and this is why I do what I do. And
she's like, not everybody is perfect, but she's like, I'm trying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actively trying to bridge the gap, to educate people and to help people. And it's really good. She has this really nice
conversation with the daughter, kind of like saying,
natural conversation.
Like, this is what happens, and we're going to try to work from there.
Yeah.
So now Veronica's leaving. She's on her way to New Orleans. She's on the flight. Yeah. She goes down. And we kind of jump to her, you know, checking into the hotel. She's getting ready for the event. And I think it kind of just jumps into the event.
Yeah.
And while she's at the event, it does cut back to what appears to be Elizabeth.
Yes.
Lurking around her room.
Yes. So we see that Elizabeth has now figured out how to break into her room. She snoops around her shit. She's just...
She even, like, puts on the Pat McGrath lipstick.
Yeah, she puts on the Pat McGrath lipstick. She steals it. Like, very creepy, weird shit. So you're just wondering, like, who is this Elizabeth character?
On? Yeah. And again, in the trailer, you're told, you know, they have the little quote there, you know, if they choose you, there's no way to escape.
Right.
And you're like, oh, right. Universe shift. Weird science fiction-y.
Right.
And that's where I'm still going with this. Like, again, somehow this Elizabeth person is...
Part of this whole conspiracy thing. Terrible thing. So
this is where we really ramp up the microaggressions. And I do actually really like, I don't know if you caught on to this, every time there's a microaggression, they actually have some type of white associated or Confederate picture or painting behind them in the background.
I did kind of vaguely remember that when we were watching. Yeah,
so when Elizabeth calls, there's like a picture of like the White House behind her or something like that. And then when they're on, the next one that happens is Veronica, after her event, is trying to schedule dinner reservations.
Mm-hmm.
So she walks down and she's just has been introduced as like, hi, how are you doing? And the phone rings and the receptionist immediately shuts her down.
Yeah.
And is like, excuse me.
Yeah. And she just, and she does it with like the rudest way possible, because she just sort of like sticks her finger in her face.
And just behind her, there's a picture of a plantation.
That's right.
There's always something referencing it in the background, which I did like. It was subtle enough that you didn't really catch on to it.
It was not too like on the nose, but it's certainly there.
It's definitely there.
Yeah.
And things like that were happening. So this is like one of the second ones that have come up where she tries to make dinner reservations and she's just being shunned aside.
Yeah.
And no one's really taking her seriously.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, she's a professional speaker.
Yeah, and I think, doesn't the reception make a comment about the price of the restaurant that she chose?
Yes, they said also that, you know, this is a five-star restaurant.
And she's just like, yeah, thanks. I know that.
I know it is.
Great. And it's like, yeah, Veronica, the character of Veronica Henley has absolutely no problem financially. Well, and she doesn't have no problem financially. It's like, anyway, we shouldn't have to tell people this, but yeah, we have to tell people this. You can't judge someone's financial earnings based off of a look. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So now this is where things get a little weird, where I'm wondering where this is going to go, because Veronica has like told all of her colleagues and friends that she's going to get ready for dinner and they're basically going to have like this great night at the restaurant.
Yes.
So she's going back into the elevator to go up and change for dinner.
Yeah. And she has a really odd run in.
And she has this kid, which is the same kid from the plantation.
Little girl on the plantation.
In a full on like 1800s dress.
Yep.
And runs in and...
Well, hi. Don't you look beautiful? Are you going to the 49th floor too?
Shh. You'll get in trouble for talking.
I'll get in trouble for talking? Okay.
If you speak, you'll get in trouble.
Yeah.
And then the door's open and the kid's gone.
And you're just like, oh.
And Veronica's like, if I talk, I'll get in trouble. Okay. Right. Oh, I'm sorry.
And she just kind of, like...
plays it off as, like, the kid's a fucking weirdo.
Weirdo. Yeah.
And the kid's just gone now. Mm-hmm. And leaves the elevator, and she's just kind of, like, stands in the hallway.
Just sort of creepily.
Like, Shining style.
Yeah, just sort of creepily walks away. We also see the weird incident, the bouquet of flowers.
Yeah, so
that
she comes back to her room, and she finds a bouquet of flowers sitting for her. And, you know, you'd think something nice, like, you know, possibly some lilies, some roses.
Yeah.
And, you know, no. You're going full racist. She got
cotton flowers. Yeah, cotton flowers. And I was just like, what even is that? Like, it's crazy. So she opens up this thing and she's looking at it and she's like, oh my God. Like, she is full shocked.
Yeah, she's like, God, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And just kind of plays off like, what the fuck is going on today? There are some weirdos.
Yeah.
Someone's just fucked.
Yeah. So she takes those, she puts them in her room, and she's just like, all right, I guess somebody sent those over.
Yep, so she gets changed, she gets ready, and now she's going out for dinner.
Yeah, she's meeting up with friends, and they're going out.
This is where the next microaggression happens.
Yep.
Where I'm assuming that the restaurant person, or the person that made the reservation at the hotel, probably told them this. But they get a table that's way too small in, like, the corner of the restaurant.
Just a really shit table. It's, like, off in, like, a dingy corner somewhere.
It's, like, next to a cleaning station.
Yeah,
and
it's like, what are you doing?
So they make a scene, basically. Like, I don't know the other character's name, but her assistant, Veronica's assistant.
Yeah, so she... So, really fantastic actress. She played... Precious in the movie Precious.
Yes.
Which she was outrageously good in the movie Precious. And she's hilarious in this movie. Like, she's so freaking funny.
She basically does stuff like if someone's talking to her, she's like, oh, I need you for just a minute. And, like, swoops her way. She's like, I heard, like, this person's giving you, like, a hard time. You're lucky I saved you.
Enjoy your dinner.
No. Sorry. I think what my friend was trying to say is that... Actually, babe, I got it. This table is 100% not acceptable, and I think that you know that, don't you? Becky. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm actually not going to go back and forth with you about exactly why this table is unacceptable. You're going to seat us over there.
Oh.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. You're doing great.
Perfect addition to this
group. And to show that they have money... Not even to show they have money, because they do have money.
They do have money.
They bought, like, 3 bottles of champagne. They're all having a great time.
Yeah, and so I think they even get questioned on that. She's like, oh, we're going to buy champagne. And they're like, it's really expensive. And she's like...
Yeah, buy the glass. And she's like, no, we'll take 3 bottles.
Take bottles. And they're like, again, it's this much. And she's like, I know. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep, we're celebrating.
Like, holy fuck. It's like, I just want to spend some money at your goddamn restaurant. Can you just let me spend some money, please?
Yeah. Now things start getting a little creepy. At the restaurant, there's this guy who brings a drink over.
Yeah.
And the
server...
You don't ever see his face. You realize later that it is someone you recognize, probably.
Yes.
And essentially... They brought the drink over for the assistant. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, the other two, Veronica and the other woman they're having drinks with. I don't know if they mentioned her name. Anyway, someone on Veronica's team.
Yeah.
They're all just kind of laughing. And because, you know, the assistant is basically critiquing his flirting style.
Yeah, because she's just like, she's like, hi. She's like, so you can see, right? You can see that we're all drinking champagne. Wine. She's like, so it's really curious to me that you'd send over
A vodka cran.
Are you kidding me? I loved it. I was just like, yes, put him down. Like, put him right in his place. So
she told him off.
She told him right where to go.
And she's like, next time if you need some help, give me a call.
Yeah.
Just, like, got that out there.
She still managed to give him her number. And, like, he walks away and they're just like, what are you doing? She's like, well, he's still hot.
Yeah. I still have that option.
Yeah.
So they decide that they're now going to go out and continue the night. Also, you think someone's at the bar? Just because? It must be related.
It's
a little pre-planned.
We find out that that's probably not a coincidence.
So everyone's splitting up. They're all getting rides to their respective end-of-night destinations. Veronica has to get up for an early flight, so she's, like, going to forego the continuing evening events at a club.
Yeah.
Where the other two are going to go separate. So they each get separate Ubers, and they're on their way.
Yeah.
So Veronica gets into her Uber, and the friends get into theirs.
Yeah.
And Veronica is on her way to the hotel.
Yeah.
So she thinks.
Veronica takes a call. She calls her husband, and she's initially thinking, she thanks him
or for the flowers. Or she texts him, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I'd love to take credit for it, but, like, that wasn't
that
me.
That wasn't me. And she's really starting to piece it
and
together.
And she's just like, then you can
tell.
Well,
and she keeps asking the driver to turn down the music.
Yes. Because it's really loud. And the driver won't turn down the music. And she's just like, what the fuck?
So she, like, asks three times pretty politely. And then the fourth time,
yeah.
She raises her voice saying,
yeah.
This is not okay. I've asked you. You must turn down the music now. Yeah. I will be getting out.
Yeah.
And at that point, the window for the driver comes down and we realize that it's Elizabeth.
Yes.
And that's when Veronica has pieced together that this is not good.
Yeah, something's not safe now.
And just as soon as we realize that Elizabeth is driving, there's someone behind her who's trying to basically, like, knock her out.
Yep. And he does successfully.
Yep. Yep. So now Veronica tries to fight, but she does get kidnapped,
yep.
essentially.
Yep.
And this is where you find out that she just now has woken up on the plantation.
Yes.
So we now know, and the person that had actually kidnapped her
mm-hmm.
and knocked her out is one of the main leads.
Yes.
Soldiers of the plantation thing who
quote,
also...
Confederate Army.
Yes, who was yep. also the husband of Elizabeth.
Yes.
So we now see that these people are not at all related in a time jump situation.
No.
Veronica has just actually legitimately been captured by these crazy people.
Yes. So here's where I start to not love the movie. Because the whole time they had set this thing up as potentially something deeper. Potentially something very sci-fi, potentially a parallel universe, a parallel story.
Or, you know, something really where someone modern can experience what had happened in the past.
Right. So
they did that kind of.
Yeah. But what I don't like about it is that they did kind of set you up to think that that was a possibility. There's a scene that I really dislike because of it.
Yes.
So there's, again, we're back on the plantation. There are a bunch of people.
This isn't
in the
too
field.
Far from where we are.
No,
because now we're back at the plantation.
It's
and
right around this time.
So
point
just to give you a bit of a jump very quickly before you go on with that story, mm-hmm. we now know that Veronica / Eden, same person,
yeah.
has woken up. This is at the same time as when we jumped to present day.
Yes.
So she was just having a dream or, you know, a recollection of these events that took place.
Yeah.
And we now know that this is now where Veronica is.
Yes.
So she's just woken up and she's back on the field. She's back to her daily grind at the plantation. And while yes. she's in the plantation,
yeah.
this is what happened.
Yeah. So then we get this really strange scene. They're on the field. They're working, you know, toiling away. And they look up in the sky and there's a fucking airplane.
Just flying by normally.
Just flying by normally.
And now, what I don't like is in the trailer.
Yes.
It looks like it's kind of going in and out, almost like a glitch.
Almost like a glitch. So, in the trailer, it very much makes you think that this is going to be, yeah, again, like a sci-fi thing, a parallel world, a back-in-time thing, a wormhole thing. I don't know. They make you think that the story is going to be something else. And quite frankly, it isn't. It's now... Now we're just in a phase where, unfortunately, it's just kind of copying The Village by M. Night Shyamalan, which is fine.
But almost a little bit lazier.
But lazier, which is... Here's the other thing. If you're going to copy it, just go full ham. Just lean right into it and copy the idea fully. Because yeah. quite frankly, people were kind of mixed opinions on The Village, whether they liked it or disliked it. I will say that at least it didn't leave a whole lot of questions about the accuracy of whether or not that situation could have played out.
Yes.
This does. This movie mm-hmm. unfortunately does. This is where,
from you start,
this point on...
There are some plot holes in how they execute
yes,
this.
Yes, there's execution plot holes. Where it's really too bad because
up until this
else
point,
is
I was really caught into
oh,
it.
Like, it's so good.
It was great.
Yeah, acting is fantastic and shot beautifully and everything.
So, and the thing that I don't like is it kind of switched from a horror, creepy movie to more of a thriller at this point.
Yeah.
It went more thriller escape movie.
Yeah, now it just switches to a thriller.
So now she works with Eli, who is actually the husband of the woman who was killed at the very beginning of the movie, who mm-hmm. you now realize, you're now kind of picturing together that, for whatever reason, stronger black people are being targeted.
Yes.
For this plantation for some reason.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if that's just like,
don't know if that's just their thing. These racist
people are trying to put them down. They just hate that they're successful. I'm not really sure what the exact motive was.
Yeah, it doesn't get entirely explained. They do go into it a little bit.
I can assume that that is what the motive was. Yeah. Yeah.
So she works with him to essentially like finalize the escape, and they're basically like, we are going tonight.
Yes.
And they are committed 100% to what's going to happen.
Yeah, and they do.
So getting back into this, now they're plotting their escape. For me, at this point, when I realized that Veronica is just in the past, I was like, or not in the past, sorry, that she's just not in the past, and she is just on the plantation as a kidnapped person. I was totally disappointed.
Yeah,
I mean, me too. We don't have time to unpack all of that.
We don't have time to unpack all of that.
It was a disappointing for me for the way that they kind of prepped this movie. Same. And the way they advertised it. It wasn't like The Turning, which we talked about earlier. See, shameless plug number 4. Told you we could get there.
Oh, man, we did it. We got there.
But it did leave me a little bit, like, that disappointed. Like, because unfortunately, it just, you got set up a certain way. Mm-hmm. And now you just kind of let it all go. You kind of gave away the mystery.
Yeah. The big reveal, the big twist was, oh, she's kidnapped. And you're like, well, all right. I get, yeah. Okay, but that's not much of a reveal. It's not much of a twist. I think, like, to make this movie perfect, you would have had to make it so that it was more sci-fi. And I know that will turn off a certain crowd. But again, imagine the true terror behind literally taking a group of modern people that have rights and freedoms.
Yeah, and putting them in a situation where they don't. And also having no one to relate to.
Yes.
Like, knowing that.
And having no one to go to. And that's the thing, is imagine
knowing that half of your slave members.
Yeah.
Don't know, like, have no other choice.
Yeah.
Like, this is just their life. Yes. And also knowing that maybe the people that you're working for, mm-hmm. of course, have no sympathy for you because that is just the way times are now. That's like, just, at the time, that's just life in those eras. So that would almost be more terrifying.
It would be more terrifying.
Than, you know, oh, these are just racist assholes who are copying me.
And it's really just,
it's like The Village, and it's also like the other one we saw, The Hunt, except flipped.
Yeah, it is. It's flipped. So, okay, we're talking a lot about The Village right now. So I'm just going to interrupt here and just give a very, very brief rundown of The Village for those that don't quite remember it. The whole story behind it was similar to this. You're shown a very, very small town that is set or seemingly set a long time ago. You're thinking, 1700s, 1800s, something like that. Long time ago. It's old. It's olden times. They don't really give you an exact year, but that's what you're thinking, right? Because of the dress and the outfits and the types of technologies they have, which is practically nothing. In that story, basically someone ends up getting sick and they nominate the blind girl to walk through the scary, scary woods to get to other parts of civilization so that she can get proper medication and first aid supplies and stuff for the sick person.
And you're told that the blind person has to go because these monsters are terrifying and they can't leave.
Yeah,
and
they won't let anybody leave who's not pure, not good, or whatever. It had some gimmick. You find out that the monsters aren't real. They're just people from the village dressed up in monster costumes to keep everybody in line, to keep everybody, like, in the village. And then you also find out that when the main character, her main character's name is Ivy. So when Ivy walks her whole way through the forest and she finally gets to the road and she gets to a fence, you are immediately encountered with her you see that she's in front of a Jeep, a modern Jeep. So you're like, oh shit, it's modern day. You had no idea up until this point, right? And what you realize is that this is a protected land area that's within this giant fenced-in region that is a restricted area for flights, and it's being constantly patrolled by, like, park rangers, essentially.
And all you know is that some guy...
billionaire owns this land, and he pays people to not go in and to keep anybody out. Yeah. And not ask questions. So they kind of give you an explanation for why the people in the village had no idea that they were living in a different time period. And that
all this technology existed and all these things existed that they didn't know
about.
And
then it goes into the backstory of why the elders of the town even wanted to live this way. Essentially, they'd all come from, like, New York. They had all been affected by extreme violence in their urban settings. And they decided to give it all up and start this commune, basically. That's really what it is. But instead of living modern, they decided to dial it way, 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 way back.
Yeah.
So it's, again, people.
Well, that's why they
really
picked
mixed.
The person who was blind, because then they can get help, but they still don't know. They can't see the modern world.
It was actually really clever. Like, that part
and
of
the
it
thing
was
that was clever about it was they also closed all these plot holes.
Yes.
That's why you didn't see airplanes. That's why you didn't hear all these sounds. That's
why
people didn't happen to stumble upon it.
What exactly? So all those questions had been kind of answered. Now, answered loosely, because it still took the right, you know, you had to still make that leap of faith, right? But it was
unfortunately,
at least somewhat answered.
From this point onwards, there are just so many plot holes that I'm kind of confused by them.
Yeah, I'm a little confused.
So, getting back to Antebellum,
we
are now in, like, Eli and Veronica are in full escape mode. They're basically going to execute their escape plan this night.
Mm-hmm.
So they wait until nightfall, and they find out that the general, him, whatever they call this guy, after, again, raping Veronica, has a cell phone.
Yes.
In, like, outside with his horse. And this is where you really start to piece together, like, you were kind of... pretty much knowing that she was in, like, just captured. And this is where you really are like, no, he owns a cell phone. This is 100% just...
Yeah, it's just
modern-day assholes.
Modern-day people living out some sick, like, Civil War fantasy. Like, it's gross.
So she waits for him to fall asleep, and this is where she uses her skills of finding out the non-squeaky floorboards, but does some weird yoga trick to get out of bed. I didn't think that was the most effective way to do it, but... It was cool. It was a cool effect.
It was really a nice
back walkover.
Yeah, it was a great trick, but unnecessary a little bit.
So then, you know, they get into the age-old dilemma of when your phone won't recognize your face ID. I'm sure no one knows what that's like now because we wear masks all the fucking time.
So they go out.
So, but again, here's one of the first plot holes. They meet up and they have the phone and they're trying to, you know, she's trying to grab the phone and meet up with Eli.
Yeah.
And I think they dropped the phone, and that was, like, you know, a tense moment. But they get it back.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no, we can't make a call because we don't have the face ID or the passcode. And I'm like, every single phone, smartphone, modern smartphone, has an emergency bypass.
Yeah.
You can just swipe out without the phone being unlocked and call 911 or whatever your local emergency number is.
And quite frankly, guys, this was an iPhone. Like, it was,
it was very blatantly an iPhone or an Android.
Yeah.
Like, mainstream smartphone. Insert mainstream smartphone brand here.
Yeah, like, they didn't hide the fact of what it was. It wasn't some old, like, clamshell bullshit. Like,
no, it was very much a smartphone.
A modern smartphone. So.
It's just, like, you could have unlocked the phone and called 911.
Yeah.
Easy.
Instead,
they try to go back into the cabin where what's-his-face is sleeping,
Of course, the general is not sleeping anymore.
Because he's realized that Veronica has left and is basically waiting for them to come back.
Yeah.
And this is where dramatic fighting ensues.
Yeah, it's a good fight scene.
It's a good fight scene, and it's, you know, they're trying really hard, they're using weapons, all that fun stuff. And unfortunately, Eli gets stabbed in the chest with a hatchet.
Yeah.
And he does end up getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
But Veronica then uses all that rage to basically incapacitate the general, him, and gets, you know, holds the phone to his face while he's, like, dying to
unlock
the phone.
Yep.
And she does. I get why she did it. It was more dramatic that way. But I'm also like, really? You texted and called your husband first?
Yeah.
Call for help. Call 911.
I know.
And then text your husband.
Yeah.
Anyways. I get it. I understand that maybe she, like, you know, at least if she texted or called him, that would at least, you know, let someone know. Like, he could then call 911, I guess.
I think that was the idea.
I guess that was the idea. But, I mean, no offense, but I would have called 911 first.
Yeah.
If I was stuck in a position like that, I would have called police. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, you have one, you've got, like, maybe
one phone
one
call
minute
in
before somebody finds you.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing. So she pings the location, she gets out, and I don't know, from this point onward, everything just seemed silly.
Yeah.
Not necessarily silly, but it just seemed
all over the top.
A little extra. It yeah. seemed a little unnecessary, because in my mind, you're done.
Yeah.
You've done the thing. You've called for help. You just literally need to wait. They will come to your location.
Yeah, I almost wish that she had just hid somewhere.
And again, that's what I would have done in that situation.
But they're trying to show how enraged she is by this whole thing. She wants some revenge.
I understand that. So I can, what I do at least, like, I guess my thing with it is, I get the one event that she did after.
Yeah.
The other three that took place, a little much.
Yeah.
So the one event after, which I can 100% sympathize with.
Yeah.
I get the rage associated with that. She drags the general, him, yeah. that guy,
mm-hmm.
to, they had a crematorium. And they would, anyone that they killed on the plantation, they would just cremate Burn. Them on site. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she drags him while he's still alive and basically can't move.
Yeah.
Drags him in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's almost caught. Thankfully, she's smart. She starts screaming for help, saying that the general's been injured.
Yes.
So everyone rushes into the crematorium to help him.
Yeah, and she tricks them.
And she tricks them and locks them in there.
Yeah.
And sets them all on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, good.
Fair.
They all deserve that.
Yeah, they were all, like, rapists and violent abusers.
Violent and just flat-out pieces of shit human beings.
Yeah.
So they got what they deserved.
Yep.
And again, I would have been totally fine if that's where the movie ended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's got that scene where she has the torch and she's lit the thing on fire, you yeah. know? You think it's going to end there.
No.
She has so much more to do.
Oh, yeah.
So she gets on the horse and starts, like, running through the camp. And there's, like, weird Civil War flashbacks happening in the background. Like, yeah. she's, you know, triumphant over the Civil War.
Yeah. I get the symbolism that they're going for. I get that she is trying to exact revenge.
But now it's just getting to a point where it is extra for the sake of being extra for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's being Hollywood for being Hollywood.
So she, basically, Elizabeth sees that she's escaping. And now we have a very dramatic secondary chase scene.
Which I'm like, did you want to get killed again? Because yeah. this is how you get killed.
Yeah, so she has this very dramatic chase scene with Elizabeth. So she's on a horse, and Elizabeth is also on a horse, literally chasing her down.
Behind her, yeah.
And then they get off their horses, and they have a literal one-on-one confrontation,
and
full-on fight.
Right before they get into the full-on fight, Elizabeth kind of discloses that, you know, that's their thing. They capture them, they despise everything that's become of the country. They're basically just white supremacists.
Yeah.
And her dad was the main...
Her dad was a senator, I believe, and that was the whole thing.
That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he ran this place, but they normally take turns picking who's coming, but he wanted her specifically.
Yeah. But Elizabeth didn't agree with
saying that she was
going to
be too much trouble.
Yeah.
She was.
She was. She was trouble. She was trouble. I mean, thankfully, she was trouble. So Veronica beats the shit out of Elizabeth, which
yes.
is great.
Which is great. And, you know, and it does have a bit of back and forth,
yeah,
which is good.
And ties her up.
By the neck.
Yes, by the neck. Like, literally lynches her up by the neck and drags her, gets on the horse.
And drags her while she runs away.
And then in a very, very dramatic ending to Elizabeth. Elizabeth smashes
her
head into a statue
of
Robert
E.
Lee.
How ironic can you get? But again, yeah. unfortunately, from this point onward, it's like a slow-mo on the horse.
Yeah,
the
it's
battle
very dramatic.
Scene. It's very dramatic, and
it's
I find
Hollywood.
It's just a little
it's,
much.
It's a little over the top. I will say, like, man, that's some poetic justice right there.
I do appreciate the symbolism in it.
Yeah, oh yeah, I love
it's
it.
It's just, it was a little much for me.
So then the biggest downfall is, as she's emerging, you basically see where she had been kept, or where everybody had been kept, which was
a national park reenactment site.
Yeah, and there's tourists just milling
just walking
around. And I'm like,
what?
And you're
like, no one thought to check on this site. No one thought that they happened to stumble in it.
No one even looked like 200 feet in the other direction.
Because
like,
clearly it only took her like a short amount of time by horse. And I'm not saying that the horse was going that fast, but I mean,
yeah, it wasn't that secluded. That's a
it
was
again. Like, it wasn't like the village where it was like,
no.
Again, they kind of closed all those plot holes.
The village, okay, in the village, That character walked for days through the forest and then finally got to a road. But even still, it was on the other side of a very tall fence and it was being patrolled by security guards, basically. Yeah. Constantly security guards. That's at least something. Again, believe it or not believe it, yeah, it's an outlandish idea. It's a crazy idea. But at least they offered you a potential
of how it could have happened.
Yeah, a potential idea or some solutions to the plot holes, that the questions that you're asking. This, there was
nothing.
Just too many for me.
And of course, then if she rides out and she's like taken video of and that whole thing, and she happens to get there precisely at the same moment as the police do.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like, it's good.
Very dramatic. Yeah.
The very ending, the very closing scene you get is of the sign of the national park, and a bulldozer knocks it down.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just demolishing
it. Just demolishes it. You're glad that that's the way it ended, but you're also slightly disappointed. In my mind, I was like, that's it? She was just captured?
I wish that they had just gone. I wish that the creators, the writers of this movie, had made it, like, full sci-fi.
Like, and I guess the problem that we had, both of us had to some extent, was...
It had been set up that way.
It had been set up that way. When you see, like, the plane glitching, like, it looks like she's in the past, but, like, somehow tied to the future.
Yeah, like, yes, like, you
like
get that
like
she
like an Us dream, or that they're both living weird alternate realities.
Yeah, or parallel universes or something like that. I thought it was going to be a bigger, more intricate reveal than it ended up being, and all it was just some horrible white supremacists had decided to exact their revenge on successful black people, which, don't get me wrong, is
like, that's
is
a very modern storyline to
and of
go
itself.
With
yeah, but as a horror movie, as a piece of
and for
fiction,
something that's being advertised as a horror weird capture movie,
yeah,
it didn't really fall into that category for me.
Yeah.
Now, production-wise, it was very good.
Yeah, and the acting was great.
Acting was great. Music score, I appreciate. It was really good. It was actually a really good style that I like.
There are
shocking,
lots of,
I know.
Yeah,
Matt likes things.
I know. There are lots of good points of this movie. I just didn't like the direction that they went with. The overall story of who everybody was.
Yeah.
Their connection to present day. I just didn't really...
I didn't like that. I wish it went a little weirder,
yeah,
oddly
go
enough.
Go crazy. Go weird with it.
Like, similar to Us, where it just ended up being a weird alternate universe where they're linked, but also not linked.
Yeah.
Right? That would have been something that was so cool. A little political, a little sci-fi, a little creepy. You don't know. It's, it doesn't need to be real, quote.
Yes.
It doesn't need to be like, oh, she legitimately got captured and these things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't necessarily need to be that, and especially when the movie wasn't set up that way.
No.
That was the disappointing thing for me.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, now it's time for our scores. I'm sure you know all about these, but just for those people who may not know, we give a total score out of 100, and we kind of roughly break it up into different categories here. So our total score is going to comprise of our thoughts and feelings on the overall story, the acting, any visual effects, music and sound effects, and finally our movie ending satisfaction rate. So those are the five categories we're critiquing when we get our scores here, and we're going to give it all a wonderful score out of 100.
Mm-hmm.
So to start off, I think we'll start off with Ginger, and your total score is...
Drumroll, please. I gave this one a 60 out of 100.
Womp womp.
I know, that's where I landed. I just feel so mixed about it. It's certainly not the worst movie out there. It's really good, in fact. It has certainly a commentary, which I feel is very, very important. Having said that, though, I really don't appreciate where the ending was.
Yeah.
It was barely a twist. It just kind of, it just sort of turned into a kind of a lackluster thriller for me. And it's been done. And unfortunately, it's kind of been done better, which... It's sort of saying something if I'm saying The Village did it better.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Now, my score?
Mm-hmm.
A 70. How did I get a higher score than you? That never happens.
I don't even know. That's like going to be the first and only time, I feel.
Take note, everyone. Yeah. Only time it happens. I went a little bit higher on the acting and a little bit higher on the production value, including the music. So I think that's where my 10 points
I don't know. It just didn't do it for me. I liked the score.
It was creepy, like sad, like string quartet mixed with synth. It kind of gave me the best of both worlds. Yeah, I pay attention to these things. Okay, I'm a nerd. Okay,
all right.
Remember, I got my fancy piece of paper that says I'm a music nerd.
Yeah, you certainly do. It just didn't stick with me that much. Like, even as we're sitting here, I'm like, I guess. Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, the downfalls for me are similar to you. The twist has been done better. It just turned into a bit of a lackluster thriller.
Yeah.
And just what you think the movie's going to be, it isn't, and it just kind of leaves you a little disappointed at the end. And that's where I knocked it down.
It's too bad. This movie had so much potential.
It has so much potential. The production quality is good. The acting is stunning.
Yeah, the acting is phenomenal. I cannot knock it for that.
And to be fair, the general story up until you get to the point of where the twist happens,
I
did enjoy it. So I do think I did actually enjoy a good half to three quarters of the movie.
It's still not a write-off. I still say watch the movie. It is good. It has a commentary. It certainly has a voice. I just don't like it from a film movie perspective.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just wish it went deeper. I just wish it had a go crazy with it. Go full ham with it. Get weird with it. Get sci-fi with it. Like, it could have been...
Well, especially when other movies of a similar genre have already done it.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Again, if you're going to compare it, the producer did...
This is the one time horror movies didn't do the same thing that worked well.
I know. You know, the same producer was working with, working on Get Out and Us, and they both had a very, like, science...
Weird sci-fi-ish
undertone
twist. Yeah.
To them. Yeah, it could have been done better.
Yeah.
All right, for the month of October, to celebrate Halloween and all things horror, we're giving you a new episode every week of...
Horrific Halloween Classics.
Our horrific review series will start with the 1988 classic and one of my all-time childhood favorites,
Beetlejuice.
Thanks for joining us once again on Dark Room Reviews.